Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959, and as you can imagine, many businesses continue to share their interim financial results. Pick and Pay is one of the latest to help us understand what the last 6 months of trading have been like for the entity. And of course, following a shift in the strategy, they have seen that its headline loss has reduced to just over 430 million rand compared to a previous loss of over 800 million rand. Coupled with that, significant capital investment within the rollout of Boxer stores, and of course, making sure that for us as South Africans, not only do they continue to deliver online sales growth, clothing turnover is also seeing an increase, but making sure that they manage their margins for our benefit as customers at the end of the day. To tell us more, we're joined by the CEO of Pick and Pay, Mr. Sean Summers. Such a pleasure to have you with us again on the show, Sam. Thank you for making time.
Great, it's a pleasure, Gugulethu, and great to see you again.
Likewise. Mr. Summers, the last time we touched base on the show was in particular regarding your results, and of course on the sidelines of a conference recently, also getting some perspective around the shift and the shape-up of Pick and Pay. Perhaps before we touch on the top-line numbers, are you happy with the progress you've been making so far in terms of restructuring and reorganizing the retail group?
I think happy is maybe the not exactly the right term. I'm happy in this regard that everything that we've done has been proven to be the correct things that we've done in terms of the levers that we're looking to pull, the initiatives that we put in place. I would obviously like it to be quicker than is the case, but you know, that's just natural impatience in a hurry to get things done. So from that perspective, yes, but there's certainly still a lot more work that needs to be done. A lot of the improvement in the profitability and the halving of the loss this year has been done because of the recalibration of our balance sheet. You know, the listing of Boxer,
yes,
and selling off approximately a third of that allowed us to deal with our balance sheet. So we've moved from an interest paid to an interest earned situation. Mm-hmm. We now have a very strong balance sheet in place. We still own 65% of the beautiful Boxer business. So from that perspective, we're in a much, much better situation than we were in. And the journey now over the next 12, 18, 24 months is to get the jaws back open in the company where we get sales growing ahead of our increase in expenditure. And that really is a very simple journey that we're on. Mm. So would I like it to be faster? You bet. but am I happy that we're showing steady progress in that regard? Totally.
100%. Let's talk about the steady progress and in particular the significant CapEx spend and investment that you've contributed to the rollout of Boxer, which continues to be a highlight within your numbers. Help us contextualize what that looks like going forward, if there will be further capital allocated to the targets that have been set for the Boxer stores.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Marek and his team are just doing an extraordinary job of judiciously opening up new stores. And, you know, again, one of the successes of Boxer is that they don't open the store at any cost. Mm. You know, they do a real deep dive into the viability for stores. And when one has a look at the quality and the caliber of the stores that make up the Boxer network, they're very, very strong. They very, very seldom get it wrong in terms of opening a new store. So the Boxer growth will continue apace, and the bulk of the capital that we will be investing will be given to Boxer.
Mm-hmm. Got you. That also speaks to some of the Pick and Pay stores that you've had to close down or either convert into Boxer stores. If I'm not mistaken, you do mention that the project exits in terms of unprofitable stores has been successfully executed. So far, 65 of those loss-making stores and others that are company-owned. Give us some context as to what this looks like now when you look at the spread of your portfolio regarding Boxer stores versus Pick and Pay. What is that unique sweet spot that we're looking to attain?
So the unique sweet spot, you know, if we have a look at our QualiSave stores, which unfortunately was a stillborn idea, we've now converted all of those QualiSaves over to Pick and Pay because the communities around the country still want their Pick and Pay. Mm. And, you know, we really didn't do ourselves any favors with the whole QualiSave philosophy. I think it was deeply offensive to many of the communities that we serve. We're now moving into a situation where we are now starting to sign up centers going forward that will be, in fact, be anchored by a Boxer and a Pick and Pay, because we certainly go to the market in similar but very, very different ways in terms of how we approach the market. You know, I look at a store line, you know, some put it to Jabba the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, our Pick and Pay store in that centre, they're absolutely trading, rocking and rolling, beautiful. And so we have the ability to trade in all markets in this country with Pick and Pay. And then Boxer specifically focused on what it does so well in the markets that it serves.
Got you. I'm keen to talk about e-commerce. I do see that online sales did grow by 34%. Ongoing partnership as well that you have with Mr. D to encourage delivery there up by 44%. And as we know, since the pandemic, e-commerce has really been one of those cylinders that all retailers are firing on. And I can imagine very different from your time previously at Pick and Pay, because this is a new growth lever for the business. But what are the prospects looking like there in terms of ongoing investment, not only into the last mile, but also in the supply chain and the logistics dynamics to enhance the margins there?
Well, for those who are keen watchers and studiers of retail, I, in fact, introduced home shopping and home delivery when I was in Pick and Pay back 25 years ago.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
How did it work back then? Would you call a call center or dial up at the store?
It was wonderful, because for a lot of people who would like come to holiday in Cape Town with all of the traffic and everything, they were very happy to get their groceries delivered to their various holiday homes. So it's been in our company for a long, long time. But it's a very important part of the business. There are certainly consumers that want not to visit a store, or they want a portion of their life delivered home to them. And that we will absolutely do with the greatest of pleasure. But you need to understand that our first and foremost primary focus is about running great stores, a great pre-build, great product, and a great experience. Mm-hmm. You know, we want feet in stores. We want successful shopping centers. We want footfall. We want line shops to operate. So it's a combination of the two. So we're not just completely focused on our ASAP and growing our online business. Our primary focus is really focused on getting our stores back up to speed and running efficiently and properly again. That's where the major focus is.
Got you. Speaking of those stores, whether we're buying online or in person, one thing you alluded to earlier on was jaws and maintaining your sales above your costs. Yeah. This also, I guess, speaks into inflation. And as you quote in your numbers, CPI food inflation sits at 4.6%. We've been seeing that in terms of the beef prices now, especially coming through on the back of the foot and mouth outbreak. And as a result, having a follow through effect onto us as consumers. Internally, your selling price inflation sits at 2.1%. Help us understand how you continue to control those and what the outlook is, especially as we head into the last quarter of the year, which is typically bolstered by increased festive season sales.
I think a good thing for the consumers, because, you know, to see prices coming down to this extent is wonderful for consumers, because they're hard pressed. And we see certain categories where we think is going to be even further deflation coming in. Rice, maize, we see prices coming down in those regards.
Gotcha.
I think at poultry, we may see poultry as supply normalizes again. We may see some poultry prices coming down. As you say, meat has been coming down. So that's all of the good. That's always good for the consumer, because that's what we have for at the end of the day. But, you know, low level of inflation has other implications for us from a business OPEX perspective. But that we'll deal with. It's nothing new. And, you know, the constrained market is the same for all of us. You know, we're all operating in the same market in South Africa, the same constrained market. And I've been saying on numerous occasions today, you know, the thing is that of grave concern is the rampant growth in online gambling in South Africa at the moment. Mm. And the people who can afford it least are the ones who are being foul hooked into this horrible thing. I mean, it certainly is not a noble endeavor. You know, anybody who's running one of those businesses cannot tell me that that's a noble endeavor.
Mm.
You know, when you look at over R1 billion a week just being sucked out of this marketplace in profit, that's food coming out of people's mouths. So, you know, you can see the NSFAS. You had the situation with NSFAS students putting their money into online gambling. You've had, you know, our SASSA grants. There's a fair portion of that that goes into online gambling as well. Because people are just so desperate. And I just don't think that it's right that one should be allowed to prey on the desperate the way that they are.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I would move. I would certainly move. Sorry to cut across you, Googs. But I would certainly move that in areas, you know, I mean, if you look at the Netherlands, Belgium, Italy, where they've in fact absolutely banned any advertising and marketing of online gambling. Do you know, in the UK from next year, they won't even be able to be in the front of a football jersey.
Oh.
Yep. So, you know, these are the moves and initiatives afoot across the globe. It's a scourge.
Got you. It certainly is a scourge, and one that is reeling in terms of economic consequences for us as South Africans. And perhaps that allows me, as you not only mentioned gambling, the consumer impact and the livelihood of South Africa, I'm keen to ask you a twofold question. I see the Pick and Pay sponsorship of the Springboks, and it's a beautiful screensaver. We've also been relishing in their wonderful success in their recent games. But we also see some good news that came through from a macroeconomic perspective, being the removal of South Africa from the FATF grey list. It yeah. seems like we're on an upward trajectory in terms of momentum, but I can imagine that there's a lot more we need to do, given that Pick n Pay is one of the leading retailers in our country, impacted not only by the sporting confidence we have, but also by market sentiment from an economic point of view. What's your outlook or its recommendations for us to really get our economy performing robustly to have a positive consequence for a business like yours?
You know, I think that the role of business and the role of enterprise is to be positive, and not just positive for positive sake. One's got to be realistic, and one's got to have your feet grounded. But you know, the role of leadership is to show hope in the future. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, if I look in our enterprise, we've got 92,000 people that work in Pick n Pay. 600,000-700,000 people sit down every evening to have a meal on the back of a Pick n Pay packet. Mm. Most of them in very, very humble surrounds and circumstances. So one needs to have a good grip of what the endeavor is that you actually are involved in. You know, across the border Pick n Pay business, there are millions of people who rely on us for a livelihood at the end of the day. Yeah. And you know, it's our job to show strength, courage, and leadership, and not merely to throw stones and criticize, but to offer hope.
100%. Well, we see it through the support that business often offers, and leaders like yourself as well, who are robust in not only challenging the status quo, but providing solutions as well. Mr. Summers, always a pleasure, sir. Truly appreciate your time. Sean Summers is the CEO of Pick n Pay.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.